The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello and welcome again. This is Paul Orlowski on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And the show you're listening to is God Calling. What is God calling you to do? Our new bishop, Edward Malesic, has said it over and over again from the time he got here, even when Dick Russ interviewed him before he got here. What is God calling you to do? Today we're going to talk about marriage, but I suppose in a way marriage is not necessarily the end of your calling. And two people that really fill that bill real well are Bill and Tanis Merrimy, who are married, have been married since 1992. I've done my homework. But there's another calling. Yes, God called you to be together and to raise a family, but help others who are married. And that leads us to Marriages of Grace. How'd you get the idea?
Well, Marriages of Grace has been around since 2012 officially, but we had actually started offering marriage enrichment retreats to couples prior to that. We had attended our own retreat and loved it. It was the first retreat we had actually attended as a married couple. We really felt the power of the Holy Spirit. We knew that this was something unique, but also something incredibly helpful. And we wanted to be able to pass that on to other people. So we offered to help the following year. And then lo and behold, wouldn't you know, we ended up actually forming a 501c3 nonprofit and getting our title or our name of our organization, Marriages of Grace, and then incorporating and doing our own work aside from just the stuff that we had been doing to help out with the other one prior to that. So it's kind of how we got started. We also worked quite a bit in pre-Cana ministry prior to that as well. And although we enjoyed that to a certain extent, it was sometimes a frustrating ministry to be in because you really only had essentially one talk, yeah. Not even a full day to work with these couples. And then, you know, they're married and they're on their way. And we really felt like there needed ongoing enrichment, not just one day prior to getting married and then, hey, good luck. I hope your marriage goes well. You know, we knew that there needed to be a little bit more than that. And there wasn't anything like that, as far as we knew, in the diocese. So that's how Marriages with Grace was born.
Yeah. Bill? We also had early on in our marriage, we had some very good friends, good Catholics, whose marriage fell apart. And that stuck with us to kind of drive home the fact that no matter what it may look like on the exterior, it's the interior life of grace that is going to propel that marriage through into eternity. And that was something that we really wanted to try to work on ourselves in our own marriage and also to share with others.
You use an interesting term. Work on. You have to work on a marriage. With the divorce rate that I see today, I don't think everybody's doing it.
And that's, again, that was part of the thrust of Marriages of Grace because we saw, like Bill just said, Catholic couples who were practicing their faith but not working on their marriage. And that seems like a big mistake. You know, it's not just one of these things that you go on the altar, you say, I do, and then you go on your merry way and you expect everything to be okay. That's just not the way it is.
Yeah. I noticed something just before we came on the air. You had to sign a form. Bill, you passed it over and said, here you go, sweets. Little words like that. I even knew a married couple who were married for 60 years, and he always called her sweetie. Yes, sweetie. No, sweetie. It's not dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. It's outward, but it's I'm thinking of you. It just came naturally to you, Bill.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, it does. And I think that's maybe part of our nature. Some gentlemen certainly are more reticent with showing emotion, but those little words of affirmation really kind of, they build up. I remember reading a book, I can't remember the title of it, but the concept was that you have a love bank. And you need to keep on making deposits into that love bank. And those deposits are made with doing things like saying, sweetie, saying, I love you, doing acts of charity for your wife, you know, taking out the garbage on Friday mornings and bringing a rose home occasionally, you know, showing her that she's still the bride that you married and the woman that you love. And those deposits in that love bank really can help when times get tough. The Great Depression is going to hit at some point, and you're going to need to withdraw some of those funds. It's inevitable. We're all fallen creatures. There's going to be trials, and you need to have deposits in that love bank.
I'm thinking back to my pre-cane. It was 44 years ago. but I don't know that I was, you know, you're going to have tough times. Yeah, right. Not us, is kind of what you think. And then, so there's not that preparation, at least there didn't used to be. But are people coming to you mostly for enrichment or sometimes because there's problems?
It's both. Our purpose is mostly to enrich. We hope that we can bridge that gap between the pre-cana and the retrovi or the marriage counseling. You know, we want to bridge that gap in between so that people don't end up in the spot where they're needing counseling. However, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be couples that come to Marriages of Grace events that aren't struggling. I do get emails. I get phone calls from couples who need help. And I'm, you know, more than willing to do that. I'm not going to profess to be a counselor or psychologist or anything like that. However, the work that we have done and the work that we do can help in those situations as well.
Now, you're not just doing this out of the blue. You had some training through the diocese.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
It was called Prepare and Enrich Program. We were trained by then the Director of Marriage and Family, Bill Boomer, and he trained all of the couples, I believe, that are on our committee to be marriage counselors through this program in the diocese.
You keep it social. It's not some lecture where you're going to, you know, talk at people. It's about communication between the married couple and, I suppose, yourselves, too.
Right. Oh, you're talking about the events.
Yes.
Marriages of Grace. Yes. So our annual Marriage Enrichment Day is a whole day event, and it incorporates lots of different things. We try and incorporate the sacraments. Confession is very important to the married life, to keeping us in a state of grace so that we can be, you know, good to one another. So the day includes confessions. It also includes Mass. There are talks. We hope that not all the talks are just, you know, someone standing up there giving a lecture. So we also include breakout sessions, and those are more interactive. So the couples do have a chance to speak to the presenter. They do have a chance to possibly, you know, raise some of their own concerns and have those concerns answered in that session and in that format. The day also includes, of course, lots of fun stuff. We had, you know, cocktail hour and dinner. And so it's really a wonderful day. And we try and incorporate as many different aspects to try and to kind of draw people in and help them in whatever ways that they need to be helped.
Yeah, and you forgot one important part of that day is couple time.
Oh,
and
right,
that's
right.
Something that from the very first retreat that we did, the organizers had the brilliant idea, I think, of mandating nothing on the schedule. It was just for you and your spouse to sit, talk, reflect on what you've heard, and just be with one another. Because that's something that's becoming more and more precious in today's society. It's the commodity of time. And being able to just be with my wife, to listen to her, to understand her heart, those are, if I can help someone in that marriage enrichment day develop the gold mine that is there, that's an incredibly important aspect of that day. So the couple time is something that we have always made paramount for that particular marriage retreat.
So it's not your typical party where the guys get over here and talk and complain about the Browns and the women are over here complaining or talking about whatever.
No, we actually don't separate the couples throughout the day. We don't separate them, men in one session and women another. The goal of the day is actually to keep the couple together throughout the day. So even the breakout sessions, they have to choose the breakout session and go to that breakout session together.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
We're going to be back with more Marriages of Grace. Bill and Tanis Merrimy are here, our guests on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're We're back on AM 1260, Cleveland Catholic Radio, The Rock. We're with Bill and Tanis Marramy, the founders of Marriages of Grace. I'm Paul Orlowski, now retired from television, but enjoying the heck out of this, I can tell you. It's a new program we're trying here. It's going to be on every week. And God Calling. You guys have found a marriage calling, but also another calling with Marriages of Grace, but also a family, a big family. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we do have a big family. We have 9 children and 2 granddaughters, and we just feel very blessed. We never thought that we would be here, but here we are, just very open to life throughout our marriage, and God blessed us abundantly.
It started out, we were both students at the Cleveland Institute of Music.
Yes.
And I was a violinist. My wife is a cellist. And I had discerned a vocation to the priesthood for about 6 or 7 months. I had a beautiful young woman waiting for me, and it was pretty clear in my heart that she was going to be my wife and my bride. Came back, we got married very quickly and had our first child shortly thereafter. And we were going through school with one child in tow. And that early child, we were 21 when we had her. We were 20 when we got married. Really allowed us to disassociate from the typical pattern of society. It forced us to think of the other, forced me as a man and as a father to start planning for something other than just my own needs. And that was a huge life-changing moment. And I think being open to life for that one first child wedged open the door and really just allowed us to experience all that God had in store for us, being open to life for the next 9 children. We have 2 more that passed away as in miscarriages. And it's been a great grace that he's given us.
No wonder you like this guy.
He's pretty awesome, isn't he?
This is a different era. I'm not sure how many of your kids are still in school with homeschooling or going to school, and that probably means 2 people pitching in,
right?
Even
so
more.
The age range, our oldest is 28, married with 2 young girls of her own. Our son, the next in line, just got married August 1st to a beautiful girl named Nicole, and we're just thrilled. And then our other kids are college all the way down to our youngest, who's in 4th grade. I'm homeschooling the 4th grade and the 6th grader. The rest are all high school and up. So it's kind of fun. I have, you know, just the last little bit of time here with these 2 youngest ones. And then, I realize how quickly they grow. And I realize that long they'll be gone, too.
Yeah. I remember off they went, my wife and he walking down to the grade school, kindergarten. And I blanked and we were at a college graduation. I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
Yeah, it goes by way too fast.
Now, Bill, you're a firefighter in Fairview Park. Does that make it, sometimes you're home for extended periods, 48 hours, but then gone for a whole day? Does that take a special balancing act?
It does. I think the part of it that is very difficult right now is actually I am a full-time fire captain and paramedic, but I'm also a full-time nurse practitioner as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing 2 full-time jobs. So you're right, Paul. The day that I work at the fire department, it's a 24-hour shift, and I have 48 hours off, which is typically fantastic. If I don't have another job, I have to cram in there. So juggling that kind of dual job is difficult. And it wasn't always that way, thankfully. You know, when I first began my career, it was just one job. Our financial needs were more than sufficiently met by my one income. And the time off was just treasured. Having those 2 days off, that's actually one of the main reasons why I became a firefighter. Mm-hmm. I knew the schedule. I knew the salary was fine. You're not going to be the richest person on the block, but you're going to have a good family life. And that's why I became a firefighter paramedic. But as our family grew, so did our financial needs. And, you know, it's becoming more of a rarity these days that you have a single income family. And my wife, you know, I needed her to stay at home, and she wanted to stay at home and raise the children. So therefore, more of the financial burden fell on my shoulders, and you're only limited. There's only so much you can do at the fire department. So
right.
I went back to school and became a nurse practitioner. And so those years have been difficult in terms of having the time, the quality time that my wife craves, because you talk about the 5 love languages, and her love language is quality time. She knows she's loved when I'm there listening and spending time with her. Going for walks is one of her favorite activities. And I just don't have that time now. I imagine within a few years, I can probably retire from the fire department and pick up some of the slack. But like I said, Paul, remember that love bank?
Mm-hmm.
I made a lot of deposits early on. And I think I'm having to make some withdrawals right now. would you say
that's
that?
Okay. I'm grateful. I tell people a lot of times, I am so grateful that Bill works as hard as he does so that I have the ability to be able to stay home with my kids. And it's such a blessing, and I'm so grateful to him for that. And like we talked about a few minutes ago, that's going to pass pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, they'll be gone, and then we'll have a lot of that quality time again, which is so awesome.
Today, though, the stay-at-home mom, we were able to, for the most part, do exactly the same thing. It's almost kind of looked down on in some ways by some people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. When those forms come home, you know, and you have to fill out, you know, what your title or career or whatever is, I always pause for a minute.
Yeah.
I write homemaker. And then if I'm really feeling a little like, okay, that they're not going to like that very much, you know, I add like, you know, freelance cellist and like all this other kind of stuff in there to like beef it up a little bit, you know.
But you know, that ought to be the number one occupation, the work of Mary possibly.
Right.
Don't want to get overly serious, but that's an important job. And I think more women
need to understand what a beautiful vocation, that we're talking about vocations on this program. That is a vocation too, that calling to be a mother and to be there for your children. I think that's a beautiful calling, and more women need to recognize what a supreme calling that can be in today's world.
So wife, mother, and now marriage, I don't want to say counselor, but, you know, enricher. Marriage,
right.
Enricher.
Been doing that, like I said, we've been doing that for a while, like probably 12 to 15 years.
Okay.
So it has been a while. And sometimes that can be a little much. Bill does have to remind me at times the hierarchy of priorities, and that I do sometimes have to step back from that ministry to make him and the kids more of a priority. So it can get in the way at times, I have to admit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is a very prevalent problem with today, which is understanding the appropriate hierarchy of your vocations. You know, I just actually ran into a little bit of this at the fire department. My first, you know, allegiance is to God, and, you know, my first fruits go to him. After that, it's my family, and I will lay down my life for my family, and they will come before any job, any friend, any dog, any whatever. They're second, right in line to God. And I've worked really hard at the fire department over the last 9 years, trying to go to school on my off time, and it's had some repercussions at the fire department in terms of friendships. I've lost friendships because I just haven't had the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been perceived as being selfish, and I can see that perception. And although I don't necessarily agree with it, I can see how it works. And the point of it being is that my selfishness that they perceived was actually my wanting to be selfless for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And that selflessness is something that we all need within our vocations. Tanis is selfless to her needs. I'm selfless to mine.
Tanis and Bill Merrimee, our guests on God Calling, right here on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We're talking today about Marriages of Grace with Bill and Tanis Merrimee, who founded this and conduct all kinds of events. We talked some about the long weekend ones, but just social events during the week, too. You do some of that.
Yeah, so we decided that, you know, the annual event is great. Not everyone can necessarily attend that, schedules, whatever the case may be. So we decided to institute something, and Bill came up with this name, a little play on words here, called Cana Nights, C-A-N-A. N-I-G-H-T-S.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just little mini gatherings, bi-monthly, usually at a restaurant or a bar or some kind of social venue, and very relaxed atmosphere, similar to Theology on Tap.
Right.
We've had some wonderful priests from the diocese and other speakers come in, and we had Bishop Perez, when he was here, come in and do one for us as well. And they're just such a great opportunity for people to gather in a relaxed atmosphere, like I said, and just enjoy themselves and meet other couples throughout the diocese who are also trying to live this vocation of marriage, and to recognize that they're not alone. And that was a big thrust, I guess, or determining factor for instituting these Cana Nights, because So often as Catholics and as married Catholics who are trying to live out this vocation of Catholic marriage, we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like there's no one else doing this. Like, doesn't anyone else understand or support us in this vocation? So they've been, really been a big hit, actually. People really enjoy these Canaanites, and we are so excited to get back to them once we can. We just can't really do much right now in this environment.
A little bump in the road.
A little bump in the road. That's okay. They'll happen again, and we are looking forward to it. We actually have our venue picked for the next one, and now we just need to wait until this all passes, and we can start them up again.
So. Bill, that's a clever name. I like that.
Thanks, Paul. I was kind of proud of it. I can't remember the ones that fell on the cutting room floor, but it works.
Yeah, yeah. The work as both EMT and firefighter and those things can be very stressful. Because for some years, being married, I'd take some of that stress home. And I'd get, will you stop? That sort of thing. I came up with just a thing in my head, which was when I cross the Cuyahoga River, going to the west side, it stays downtown. Because I've seen some terrible things. You've seen some terrible things. What mechanisms do you use?
Yeah, that's, Paul, I echo that approach. I also, my wife may be different than yours. My wife actually craves knowing what goes on in my life.
Actually, his stories are kind of fun, so I like to hear them sometimes.
And you're right. I mean, there is a lot of misery and pain that you participate in my field and your field, Paul. But there's also some really crazy, interesting stories that just allow you to relax in front of your wife and laugh together about something. And I don't think it's sharing anybody else's deep, dark secrets. It's really just confiding with with your soulmate that, hon, this is what was going on at work. Can you believe this? And it's good to have that. It's good to be able to be at that place where you can share everything.
I sometimes have to tell him, okay, that's enough. I don't want any more details. That's kind of gross.
Yeah, so Tanis is, she's the kind of person that everyone in our family knows that the types of movie that Tanis likes, it has to have a happy ending, okay?
The Hallmark wife.
Exactly. You can have a little bit of misery and action in between, but it better end up with a guy getting the girl and everybody living happily ever after. And sometimes our stories, Paul, you know, they don't end happily ever after. And so I have to be conscious of that for her, too, is, you know, there's only certain things I can tell her.
Yep.
And with those classes of cases, yeah, you're right. They stop at the Cuyahoga River for me, too.
Yeah. I guess my philosophy toward it all is, you know, life can be a comedy or a tragedy, and I choose comedy. Mm-hmm. So I leave the tragedy down there. I try to. But it wasn't always that way, and she got tired of it. And I said, you know what, I'll tell you the funny stuff then. And that's kind of what we do. Because I went home one night, and the next morning she goes, did you go to a murder or something last night? I said, yeah. She goes, oh, there's blood on the cuffs of your pants. You know, because back in the day, we used to get up close to these things. You know, she didn't want to hear about that anymore. You know, things like that. So I can relate to exactly what's going on there. Another thing I found since I retired, typically watch the 12 o'clock Hallmark movie. I've gotten the timing down that about 1:35 is where the conflict is. And then then something happens, and then about 3 minutes to two. I've worked on time schedules my whole life. But the breakup is 1:35. I hope it didn't ruin tomorrow's movie for you.
Well,
but what about people coming? They're not necessarily troubled. They're probably looking for enrichment. But 9-11 mouths to feed at some point in time. There are financial strains, and I certainly know that pre-Cana did not prepare me for that.
Right. We recognized that as well. There's so much within the vocation of marriage that you just can't learn in a weekend or possibly even a one-day retreat. There has to be ongoing enrichment. For us, we took that on ourselves. And we have never stopped reading about our faith, learning about our faith, practicing our faith. It's always been an integral and I would say a central part of who we are as individuals, but also as a couple. Not every married couple is going to have that same kind of desire or even ability or knowledge to be able to pursue marriage to that level. So we're hoping that through these events that we offer, we're able to direct them. Here's a great book. Here's a great retreat. Here's, you know, maybe another couple that you can go and talk to that you can relate to. And for whatever reason, God has blessed us with a really strong marriage. We'll never take that for granted. Absolutely. But we do recognize that we have been blessed in that regard, and we want to be able to share that with others. And then we're also able to help them with the resources that we ourselves have discovered throughout the years. And we've been married 28 years, going on 29 years. So there's a lot that we've learned in this span of time. And we know that as Christians, we're not just meant to keep this for ourselves. You know, this is something, this is a gift that we can now share with others. Maybe we weren't able to share it to that same degree when we were only married 5 years because we didn't have the experience. But I do hope that after 28 years of marriage and 9 children and all that kind of stuff, that now we do have a lot of maybe graces and knowledge that we can share with others that could be helpful to them.
Mm-hmm. So God called you because somebody else was doing a weekend, and now you're passing that along, it seems.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the time has gone pretty quickly here. I really appreciate your coming in. Bill, any closing thoughts and any events coming up? I know you got something scheduled when this all ends, but any of the weekend things or?
Well, the Canaanites were hoping to start back up again in the spring. We really need to get through the winter, I think, through the winter months, where people generally tend to be a little bit more worried about illnesses. Mm-hmm. Since our events do necessitate people being in a group, I think it's probably wise for us to wait out the winter and then start up again in the spring. I can tell people that our next event will be held at Georgetown in Lakewood. The rest of the details are still to follow, just based on people's availability as far as the speaker is concerned. And the date is tentative, so I don't want to really put that out there yet until that's ironed out. And then, you know, hopefully, God willing, everything else works out. We can have our annual event, and everything will be on our website, and people will let people know as, you know, probably over the next month or two once we iron all of this out. We can get through this whole.
And there's a wealth of resources, Bill. Your website, let's give that a plug.
Sure, at marriagesofgrace.org. And it's filled with a lot of resources that we pass on to couples at these events. And then just 2 books that we always try to recommend, which were formative for us, would be The 5 Love Languages, which I mentioned to you before, mm-hmm. as well as His Needs, Her Needs. Those are fantastic books that have given us some of the foundations for our marriage.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we've planted some seeds with some folks to attend these and to go to the website and look up some of those resources and maybe attend an event. That'd be wonderful.
Thank you, Paul.
And maybe that seed gets passed along even farther
you,
down
Paul.
The road. That's
great. That would great. Be great. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice having you, Bill and Tanis Merrimy, founders of Marriages of Grace, right here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Paul Orlowski. See you next week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.